All right, and there you guys go. What's up? Welcome back to another episode of LeVar Walker Daily Show Podcast. We're back again. I'm streaming live this evening. What's happening to each and every one of you? First of all, shout out to everybody that came to check me out this weekend. I was at I was in Memphis at Chuckles. It was a light audience, but what the hell? We did the best we could do. So shout out to all 50 of you who came out to my show. And that was a very humbling experience considering the fact that in Baltimore, 1,756 people showed up the whole weekend. And I don't know what happened to Chuckles. I don't know what it is about me in the southern markets. I don't know. Maybe if my name was comedian fucking loose mouth and I did some type of shenanigans, more people would come out. I don't fucking know what that was about. But to those who came, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate you. Had a great, great time in Memphis. I'm an Elvis fan. I went to Elvis's house. So I visited the house. I did the whole tour. And Graceland the shit is like Disneyland or something like that. So I went. I was the only black in my group other than the tour guide. It was me and the tour guide were the only blacks. And I got to really go into Elvis' house and see his house. I got to see his house, his cars. I got to walk around a little bit and just feel the spirit and the essence of this guy. I just think he was a very interesting man, especially at that time. That nigga was magical, man. And even if you look at old YouTube videos and shit now of him, he was a very magical guy. Now, did he fuck a 14-year-old? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I was thinking to myself while I was there, like, if Elvis could get away with fucking a 14-year-old, then there should be some type of R. Kelly world. We can't just, you know, we can't move goalposts when they're convenient. Priscilla Presley was 14 when Elvis started fucking with her, right? Just turning 14, and her parents gave her up to Elvis, which shows you how fame and people, like, people, every fucking body wants to be famous, you know what I mean? And people will sometimes give up their children to famous people, which is what happened in the R. Kelly case. Now, I'm not saying R. Kelly was right. I'm not saying Elvis was right. I'm a fan of both of these men, okay? But these parents are a lot of times at fault as well, and no one seems to point a finger at them. Now, I want to debunk some myths about Elvis. A lot of black people feel that Elvis didn't like black people. Elvis loved black people. Matter of fact, Elvis asked, the house, Graceland, is in the hood in Memphis. I mean, that shit in the hood. The Walgreens by Graceland. I don't know if you saw the bit that I posted, but that was just a true story. It's a raggedy-ass Walgreens where you walk out of Graceland. You know, when you driving around, that shit is ghetto to the motherfucker. Like, I really think he came up with the song In the Ghetto about his surroundings. But this guy was a good guy. Helped a lot of black people, show love. And one of the comedians that I was working with this weekend, he hosted my show. Shout out to Oscar P. Oscar P. Funny. Very funny, brother. Shout out to Squeaky Barnes out of Nashville. And also, shout out to new up-and-coming comedian Cowboy, who is also on my show. Now, Oscar knows a guy named Elvis, a black dude he go to the pool hall with. And it's some interesting shit. Like, this is some rumor type shit, but Elvis' mom... this shit gonna blow your mind. Elvis' mom is a mulatto. Yeah, yeah. Elvis' mother, her mother is like black or some shit, or mixed. So Elvis has nigga in him. Like, Elvis is part black. And I looked it up. I said, yo, you for real? Now, in searches, it says Native American or Indian or some shit like that. But then I looked at the features of Elvis and his mom and, you know, that nose and the lip, the full lips. I'm like, yeah, man. And then, you know what I'm saying, he got the rhythm and shit. And then his skin was kind of tanned. That's an interesting take. Like, I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, this shit is true, but it's a very, very interesting take. And I was very, like, it was cool. It was very interesting. And I go to the house. The house was amazing. Elvis bought this property and this land at 22 years of age. You know, I watched the movie, and I felt Elvis's spirit in this home. Like, you can just feel that shit. He is in there. You feel him. And, you know, I walked through, took some pics, a little bit of video. Wasn't supposed to do the video, but I did shit anyway. So in the living room, the dining room, and then he was real ahead of, he was real into tech, right? He was a real techie kind of dude. So in 1977, when he died on August 18th, the house is still the same. If you go to the house, he has the technologies that we use today. Like, this motherfucker had the first Ring cam. He got cameras all over that motherfucker. He just got shit that it would be no, it would not be a great transition to how we living now from how he was living in the 70s. I went in his basement. He had the TVs put into the wall. Wasn't no TV sitting on the floor, no shit. It was like he had flat screens, but it was like them big box TVs. They cut them shits out. He had them flush on the wall. Had like three TVs and shit. Real beautiful pool table, like pool table. And he had a lot of mirrors. I guess he liked to look at himself a lot. You know what I'm saying? But it was very, very interesting, man. Had a lot of guns and shit. Because he wanted to be like a law enforcement. He wanted to be a cop. And they said that he rode around with a siren in his car, like a blue light. And in Memphis, he would pull people over. This motherfucker, like, just not on no to arrest you, but just telling you to slow down. If you sped past them and he, like, in his little truck or something where you don't know, that he'll put the little light on, pull motherfuckers over, and they'll go fucking crazy. The people go crazy, and people would crash. They would get in an accident. So the city literally had to tell him to stop. And you know what else he got? That motherfucker has a gold Social Security card, a 24-karat gold Social Security card, him and his father, man. This was just such an amazing, it's an amazing, I would tell anybody, it's worth the money to go on this tour. Like, I did an ultimate VIP experience because I'm just a super Elvis fan. So I paid like $215 and I got to see like everything. You don't get to go in this bedroom and no shit like that. That shit is off limits. But you go to the kitchen, you go to the living room, the front room, you go in the basement, you go to the pool, the racquetball court. He was living fly than a motherfucker. He was fly, man, and he did fuck with black people, man. Like, he showed a lot of love. Like, I really wanted to dispel that thing that he was somehow racist because he wasn't. And then often people would say that Elvis stole music and shit from black. Well, that's not true either. Elvis grew up in Tupelo, Mississippi. They was like in a fucking shotgun house. They had $0. His mom had him and his brother. His brother was born a stillborn. He was an identical twin. And they moved to the literal projects in Memphis. Now, the thing about his mom being half black, his dad used to beat the shit out of his mom. Because I guess he might have been somewhat racist or some shit, and he ain't like that she had black blood. And this is just, this is what I've talked to people in Memphis about that shit. But it was just so fucking interesting, man. I mean, this motherfucker had it all. Bought the house at 22. I went and looked at his cars. You know what I'm saying? He had like all the cars and shit. And It was just an amazing experience, and I think he might have some black illegitimate children walking around in Memphis. I'm telling y'all, it's a lot to that shit, man. It's a lot. But I really had a good fucking time. You know what I'm saying? It was a weirdo, like, you know, people were kind of weird with that shit. I'm a weirdo too in a way, but you get this whole VIP experience. You get a white glove experience where I even got to hold some of the items he held, like the key to the city of Tupelo, his boots and shit. And it was just amazing to me. It was amazing. I even saw where he, like right before he died, he had built like a racquetball court and shit, and he had played racquetball and played the piano. Then he went and died. He died literally in this house, man. Fell out on the floor and fucking died in Graceland. And what was also so interesting was that, you know, you go and they have a meditation garden, and his whole family is buried there, right? His whole fucking family. Elvis is buried in the backyard. Elvis is buried in the backyard. His mama buried in the backyard. His daddy's buried in the backyard. His daughter is buried in the backyard. His grandson is buried in the backyard. His grandmother is buried in the backyard. It was amazing. I was like, wow. The shit blew me away. And guess what else I saw? Michael Jackson was married to Lisa Marie. Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie carved their initials in a tree in front of Graceland. I got to see that shit too. That shit was amazing, man. Because you talking about a level of fame unheard of. The only person that ever had that level of fame was Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know Beyonce super famous and shit, but to me, that Michael Jackson Elvis shit is just a whole nother, that shit is different. That's a different fucking thing, man. This dude did like 32 films in a short period of time, because the man died at 41 years of age. So in a short period of time, 32 films, hella albums, just printing fucking money. It was insane. And even though he was as famous as he was still taken advantage of in this horrible entertainment industry. They took advantage of him. His, the fat ass, the fucking fat penguin-faced ass, Tom Parker, that was his name, Colonel. He was a fake fucking Colonel. He took advantage. He was getting 50%. Of everything Elvis made. He caught Elvis when he was green. He was young. Caught him when he was young. And made himself not only Elvis's manager, but like they were like business partners. Could you imagine that shit? Like, your manager's getting half of what you get. Your ass got to get out there. Because you know what I'm saying? I'm a comedian. I'm out on the road. And this man working like crazy. He getting out, going up in Vegas, performing in them jumpsuits, you know what I'm saying, for hours at a time, doing 4 or 5 shows, and that big fat fuck, he's sitting back getting half of everything he made. It got so bad to where they had to actually sue Colonel Tom Parker to get him the fuck out of there. He was still trying to get money in Elvis's death. They had to sue him. So Elvis was taken advantage of in this horrible industry too, because the music business is a terrible, terrible place. Even, you know what I'm saying, even to an extent, I think that, you know, comedy too. But I would say this to anybody that's an artist. I do think it's up to you. You have to have a responsibility to have the due diligence to not get tricked out of your shit. You really got to fucking read. And you just got to do your due diligence, because people are going to fuck you, man. They're going to fuck you. You know what I'm saying? And speaking of that, I want to get to this whole T.K. Kirkland, Charleston White situation. You know, it's been in the news and the media. TK Kirkland, I know TK as a comedian. TK often worked at Uptown Comedy Corner. Cool dude. I never had no issues with TK. But it's a whole situation going on with him and Charleston White where he was paying, he got Charleston White to come on the road with him, do a Live Nation deal. And Charleston White was opening for TK, and TK, I guess, was giving him peanuts. Not TK, but maybe Live Nation. But whatever it was just a small amount of money. And the thing about it is, and I would say this to Charleston White, bro, listen, don't nobody give a fuck about nobody in this game, man. You know what I'm saying? When I look at your situation, I think you were green. I think, you know what I mean? You're new in comedy, and you were just green. And you looked up to TK, and from what I can see, TK probably took advantage of you. You know, he bought you out on the fucking road, told you he was going to open, and he gave you a small amount of money or no money at all. But you were already making money before that. So I don't know why you would accept a shitty deal when you were making the money by yourself, brother. I would say to my brother Charleston White, listen, man, you already selling tickets, bro. You winning. You don't need no motherfucker to come to you to help you. You can go show up at a club and 200-300 people are going to come up and you walk out of there with a bag. Don't let these motherfuckers fool you, telling you, nigga, no, there are no rules to this shit. You get to popping in this shit, you win. You got the fan base, you win. Okay? That's the hardest part of comedy, is growing your fan base, growing people, or getting people engaged enough to where they're going to come out. And that's why it chuckles. I didn't have anybody. It was low. I probably did 40 people a fucking show. I had a great time, and I'm very thankful for those people. But in that market, they just wasn't fucking with me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm cool with it. I don't give a fuck, because I'm not going to be like some, you know, like some nigga wearing wigs and shit or fucking doing some goofy shit. Like, I do real comedy. Like, I like to talk to people. And comedy's subjective. I'm not saying that, you know, whatever you wear, if you do costume, hey, do you. That might be your thing. That's not mine. But maybe in certain markets, certain shit works. And it didn't work in that that particular market. But hopefully, people will come out to see me at the Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to the 30th. You can get those tickets at LeVarWalker.com/tour dates, okay? So come out, or you could just Google LeVar Walker Atlanta Comedy Theater September 29th to the 30th, because I'm going to be here. People be asking me shit, LeVar, when you come to Atlanta, man? When you going to be in Atlanta? When you got a car? As soon as I say the date, motherfuckers call me, damn, man, I'm going to be out of town. Fuck you, man. Fuck you, all right? You know what I'm saying? And if any of you cannot make it to my show, don't message me that shit. Just don't come. I'll understand. Don't message me you can't come. Because I try to push these shows. I try to push my shows for people to come out. But if you can't come, you just can't come. You don't have to message me that shit. That shit is disheartening. You know what I'm saying? I put this shit up, like, I've been talking about this show. I started talking about it maybe 2 or 3 days ago. Motherfucker text me, I'm gonna be out of town. I said, bro, I didn't even fucking ask you to necessarily come. You know, if you can come, I'm thankful for that. But you don't need to text me this shit. I'm not gonna cry. What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? But I would appreciate it if you could. But if you can't, don't come. That's it. You know what I'm saying? This is my dream. I understand. Shit, ain't nobody here to support you but you. I keep it popping. I keep it moving. You know what I'm talking about? And also, too, I want to talk about this whole Steve Harvey scandal. This Steve Harvey scandal with Marjorie Harvey and Steve and people with this atrocious, fucked up rumor saying that Marjorie Harvey cheated on this man with a chef. How miserable are people? You got to be a miserable motherfucker to just run with just a disgusting, vicious rumor. And I'm not saying this shit because I want Steve to give me. I don't want their motherfucker doing shit for me. I can give a fuck about Steve Harvey. All I'm saying is, man, that shit is wrong. Because you know what I'm saying? It's a family man. You know what I mean? They got kids and shit. And just for people to just be so vicious and fucking mean, it's pitiful. And I'm not doing that. I don't want shit from nobody. I have to tell motherfuckers every day, I'm getting my shit out the mud. I'm getting my shit out the mud. All this shit I'm doing, I had to move, put this studio up in my house. I don't want a motherfucking thing from these people. Because you know who got me? As he would say, God got me. So, you know, I just think it's very nasty for people to run with a lie on a person. And do you really think that Marjorie would, I don't, you know, and I'm not going off, you know, her past or anything, but do you really think she would fucking jeopardize all that shit for a cook? You gotta be a dumb motherfucker to run with that bullshit ass story. That was the most atrocious, shitty story that I've heard all week. And it really turned my stomach. I saw people talking about it. And I actually hit up a friend of mine and say, bro, you just need to delete that shit. And this motherfucker tell me, man, you trying to, you must gonna tell him, well, you gonna, nigga, no. I don't want a motherfucker to do a goddamn thing for me. That's one thing about old Var Walker. I am digging in the mud. I'm doing all this shit I'm doing because I know what it takes. It takes a belief in self and it takes a lot of work. I don't believe a motherfucker. Outside of God, I don't think you can do shit for me. You know what I'm saying? So I just like to tell my truth straight up. Straight up, man. To the Michael Jackson accusers, this is getting really pathetic. So they're suing the Michael Jackson estate. Once again, they're suing Michael. How many times in this society are y'all going to dig up a motherfucking dead man? He's dead. He's dead. How sick is that? How sick? Like, if there's a judge or some type of legal person, I think when you attack a person in death, your ass should automatically be sued by that person's estate. Because at the end of the day, if you go out here and commit a heinous crime or murder somebody, they put you to death. What else do you want? You know what I'm saying? If the man is gone, if the man is in his grave rotting, what can he do? What can he do? This ain't fucking Thriller. What is he supposed to do? Pull back the damn tombstone and climb up out the ground to come to court? People are sick. We're living in a sick ass world. We're going to hell in a handbasket very, very quick. And I am just sick. I'm tired of it. I'll just be honest with you, man. Now, Tyrese, in news too, Tyrese just put out a song about child support. So I guess his baby mama got him on child support. And I guess he has to pay $20,000 a month. I'm going to say this, right? And I know I'm going to get pushback from men or whatever. I believe, like, if you marry a woman, you got the child, you know what I'm saying, and shit don't work out, man, just get a woman the money and go. Fuck all that old shit. Here, go make some more money, man. That's just how I feel. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? That's just how I look at it. It's just like you was in this relationship with this woman, or you married to the woman, you don't do a prenup, or you don't do your due diligence, just hold your L. But crying about that shit, man, it's just pathetic. What are we doing? Crying about the shit and even getting motherfuckers to try to protest. This nigga tried to get people to come down there and protest because the judge told him to be quiet in court or some shit. Like, come on, bro. Come on, give her the money. Fuck it. You're going to make it back. You're going to make it back. It's the best thing you can do. I read Will Smith's book, and Will Smith's book, when he was getting his divorce, he called Quincy Jones. And Quincy Jones told Will, he said, let her have it, man. Just give her half the shit and leave. You're going to make it back. That's all you can do. There's a man. That's called being a man. You know what I'm saying? So this is what it is. I even saw some people that transitioned to a man and was complaining about being a man. I saw a person that transitioned to a man and was in tears talking about how hard it is to be a man. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to manhood. I'm not knocking what you want to be, but welcome to motherfucking manhood. How does it feel? Yeah. As a man, nobody gives a fuck about a man. Your job is to provide. You it's based off of your worth and the value you can bring to society. You can't walk around here off your looks. Nobody gives a fuck. That shit might work in high school. You could be a pretty nigga. That pretty nigga shit worked through high school. You might get a little bit in college, boy. But when you get in this motherfucking real world, nigga, please. You got to work. You got to goddamn get you some money and bring value to the community. Or you ain't shit. That is what it means to be a man, literally. And that is what I'm trying to instill in my son, to let him understand that. It's going to be hard for you, boy. Shit, daddy and mama ain't going to be here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really trying to drill that shit. Like, you got to pull this shit out the mud, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm an asshole, too, at times. So I don't want shit from a motherfucker. That's why. That gives me, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, people call me an asshole sometimes. And most of the ones that call me an asshole are just really insecure motherfuckers that, you know what I'm saying? They see me and they, you know, they see my hard work that I've put in to try to become something, and we're like the same person, and they're looking in the mirror like, fuck, I fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And most people, if I'm an asshole to you, it's because you was a motherfucking asshole to me, all right? And I'm a Virgo. I'm a very petty motherfucker. I like to get down low in the grass and look a mother. Like, people talking about how a snake get low in the grass, right? Well, I'm a motherfucker. I like to get down low in that grass too and look the snake in his fucking eye. That's me. That's what I do. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. I just wanted to come in here today, get it in. We're live right now. Let me look at some comments here. Man, y'all really blowing me up. Hell yeah, I go on Joe Budden podcast. I fuck with Joe Budden. Joe Budden is a very dark Virgo. He has super Virgo qualities. Let me see. LOL, pretty boy shit. Yeah, fuck out of here. She paying $8,000 as of recent. I don't know what you're talking about. Halle Berry. Yeah, Halle Berry paying child support, nigga. She ain't making no motherfucking song. Nigga crying about, but nigga, get your ass out of here, man. I forgot about that part, that Halle Berry is paying child support. This nigga crying. She wanted 20,000. Fuck out of here, nigga. Pay the goddamn money, man. Piece of shit. Yo, shout out to, we got somebody paid a super chat. Appreciate you. When is your next movie cameo? I don't have a movie coming up, but I'm in the second season. I'm on a show called Life and Beth on Hulu. So check that out. Our second season should either be coming out in December or January. If not, you can watch it. It's on Hulu now. You can watch the first season. And on Life and Beth on Hulu, I play a guy named LeVar that's a pharmacist. So I'm playing myself. So Amy made sure she didn't want me to fuck that up. You know, I don't know when I'm coming back to Birmingham, Rodney. I'm going to try to run a play on Birmingham. And this time I think I'm going to try to do the big room. I did the Stardom in Birmingham, Alabama, but I did what's called the Broadway Room that held 70 people. And then they have a big main room that holds probably about 400 to 500. But when I was there headlining the Broadway Room, and my brother George Wilburn was headlining the main room. And I think there was some confusion in where people was going to go. What's up, Sharon? JT Burnside, I see you, my guy. I see you. Now, this motherfucker, yeah, I think she fucked the chef and the bodyguard. Hell, she was creeping with Steve when he was married. Nah, I don't believe that, Jelani. I just don't believe that, man. I you know what I mean? It's different, bro. Like, I'm not buying that shit, bro. Because I'm going to say this, right? It's funny you bring that up. I don't really think she gonna touch nobody that ain't got that bag. You know what I'm saying? So if she was cheating and it was like, oh, she got caught fucking Michael Jordan at that, so I'm like, okay, I can see that. But she not about to fuck a chef or no bodyguard, man. You know what I'm saying? Women are smart. They're a lot smarter than they're giving credit. Trust me. She's not doing that, bro. I'm just going to have to let you know. What he say? Watch you while eating pizza wings. My brother, Mr. Urban World, shout out to you, man. What is this? Why do y'all open y'all shows on a work night? I don't know. What you mean? I wish Jelani was here to answer that. I don't know, man. Listen, often people ask me when I'm coming to the UK or when I'm coming to any of these different places. I typically go where the deposit comes from, okay? So if you know somebody that wants to run a play and you can meet my requirements and we get the deposit and get that back in, I'll be in the UK. All right, Aaron? That's how this works. It's not like I'm sitting in here turning gigs down, because I'm not, brother. Yeah. Goodness. Please repent of your sins. Yes, all right. Ain't that some typical shit? Niggas say they can't make an event. Let me see. Who else we got here? Yes, I have actually worked with Bubba Dub. Me and Bubba Dub did a show together. Where the fuck I did a show with Bubba Dub, man. I headlined, but Bubba Dub was on that show. It was in a small city, man, but it was a low turnout. I forgot where that was. It was a good young brother coming up as a promoter that took care of me and Bubba Dub. Bubba Dub is a very funny young man. That nigga need to play James Brown. Bubba Dub look like James Brown in the face. Hey, hey, hey. Yo, yo, yo. Y'all are messy. Let me see. That Baltimore number was 1,756 people came out to see me in Baltimore over 5 shows. That was probably the most people. It's not the most people I've performed in front of, because I've been on other shows. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the biggest audience I played to, I opened for Cat Williams at Phillips Arena, and I played to like 15,000. But that was the first time I ever had that many people at one of my shows where I'm on the bill. So, well, guys, this was a really, really great show, man. And I even got a $10 super chat, which was really cool. Let's see what we got. LeVar, I'm starting a jewelry business. I'm going to send you a free chain to wear during your shows and live streams. I tell you what, man, hit me. Damn, you on YouTube. How can you do that? I gotta give you my address. I don't want to give it over here. You're gonna have to hit me up some kind of way. Yeah, I fuck with you, man. You know what I'm saying? Just hit me up, DM me on Facebook or Instagram or something, man, and we can make that shit happen. My favorite joke was when you had said the old man couldn't remember his PIN number, and then he did, told everyone to turn around. Ah, you know, I did that joke on Last Comic Standing. On Last Comic Standing, I was on the last season, the absolute last season of Last Comic Standing with Keenan Ivory Wayans, Roseanne Barr, and Norm MacDonald as the judges. I made it to the semifinals, but I lost because Keenan Ivory Wayans said that I kept talking about being a pharmacist. And I'm like, nigga, I'm a pharmacist. So, you know, but a motherfucker come on there and talk about being black all day or some shit. Like, I was so salty when I got off that show. Hold on, guys. I gotta pee. I'll be right back. Stay here. Oh, all right. I'm glad y'all hung around. I had to go take a piss. But no, so I was on Last Comic Standing. I was on the absolute last season. I made it to the semifinals, and I lost. Like, they kicked me off. I was so pissed off. And you know what's so crazy? So when I got Last Comic Standing, Wanda Sykes put me on that show. And Wanda was like, baby, I know you got something special going on. I know you gonna do your thing. And I lost, and I walked off of that set. And when I left, I was like, fuck. I literally dropped my book like, fuck this shit. And I turned around, Wanda right there, you okay, baby? I'm like, God damn it. Like, it kept, I was like, man. Oh, man, I lost. And the homie Clayton English won, and we was on the bus. Clayton English, shout out to Clayton English, man. He on the 85 South show. Clayton English won the whole thing, and we was on the bus. And I told Clayton, man, whoever wins, you know what I mean, we got to open for one another some shit. And Clayton blew up. I ain't heard from him. He got to call me, man. Where my moderators? You looking at them. I'm all my moderators. My moderators. I don't, baby, listen. You looking at everybody right here. A good enough degree. That's hilarious. Yeah, my moderators are me, ma'am. I do it all. I'm all in with this. So I just need to let you know. Let me see. Maybe we can bring something up. Shit, I might just stream all goddamn night. I don't care. You know, let's find some shit to talk about. What's going on in the news? What y'all want to talk about? They say Kenya Moore might be getting fired from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Huh, that's very interesting. That shit's still going strong. Let's look at that. Let me see. Let me share the screen. Let's share the screen with you guys. Will it share? Just speak, you alone. Yeah, I'm alone, dear. Now this shit ain't even, oh man. Oh well, I don't know why this ain't working, but I can't share my screen. Boy, yeah, K-Dub. K-Dub is a very funny brother, man. me and K-Dub came up together. Is this shit tripping? I think my computer tripping. I can't do shit on here. Huh. I did see the bad news in Jacksonville. That is very, very unfortunate. So in Jacksonville, Florida, there was a gunman that went in a Dollar Tree and targeted black people. And I believe he murdered three black people. And also, if you remember, in Cleveland, there was a black man that drove through and killed a lot of white people, too. So, I mean, it's all fucked up. I think hate is hate and shit is bad. And I'm not just saying that shit because, you know, niggas want to call you a coon and all that. But what in the... Okay. Damn, I don't know why my... I can't click on nothing, y'all. That's weird. Every time I do this, I learn something, guys. Every single time. I'm so low-key, you think I was a celebrity. I don't trust people. I don't know. When I run errands, I'm in and out. I don't blame you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm surprised nobody, it's unfortunate, but I'm surprised nobody in that Dollar Tree was holding because, you know, Florida got a, you know, everybody can pack a pistol in Florida. So I'm just shocked that nobody was holding. That was interesting. Very interesting. This shit is tripping. That won't let me click on y'all. Boy, I swear. I got Lady Navoa on the thing, but I can't get her off. It's like the shit is tripping. It's always something with this. Well, guys, I guess I'm gonna wrap this podcast. I'm gonna wrap this shit up. I might go live some more. You didn't hear about the Cleveland. No, it was Cleveland. Where was that at? Let me see. I'm going to have to look it up on my phone. It wasn't in Cleveland. A man drives through a parade. Yeah, it was in Wisconsin. A man just killed six people. He drove his car through the Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Daryl Brooks. And he killed six white people driving through. He just plowed that motherfucker and just drove over the whites. So, you know, I think it's very important. Like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that racism does not exist. I'm not going to sit here and say that we weren't behind the eight ball, you know, with all that racial shit. But we have to open our eyes to now, to the present, and moving forward in the future. And I think a lot of times they throw out, like, racial issues and shit to divert our attention from a bigger play that's going on. Because I feel like the elites and shit are just really trying to fuck us all over. It's literally, your color don't matter. You either got the fucking money or you don't, to a big, big fucking degree. You know, even when you're around rich black people, they don't want to be around your poor black ass. Just like rich whites don't want poor whites around them. We're more so in a society of, like, literal classism at this point. But we're diverted. A lot of times our detention gets diverted politically through racial shit. Like, that's what's happening. That's the play they keep running, man. So we have to be mindful and careful. I mean, because people are just sick. You got some sick motherfuckers, man. And even with that Joe Biden shit, yeah, that's another one too. Man, what in the hell? Why is my... I got to figure this shit out again. I really hate that this is tripping like this. All right, let me take that off. can't even. It's like this is frozen. It's almost like my Man, Ron, I saw you came in and said something, man, but this, it's like this, that's cool, but it's like, I don't know why this is freezing on me. Well, guys, we gonna end this. So good night, God bless. And I can't even end the damn broadcast. Ain't this about a bit? It won't even let me end this shit. Can you believe it? This shit is tripping. Let me see. And we having a good conversation too, which is crazy. This is a great conversation we having, but for whatever reason, my website is, I can't get the damn website to turn off. It's not letting me do nothing. Oh my gosh. What is happening? All right. I'm about to hit a switch on there. No. Well, we gonna get it better, Ron. Yeah, I know it ain't shit. That's my best friend, Ron Guidry, the farmer. He is the king of farms. We're gonna get a better lamp, Ron, but you can kiss my ass until I get me one, motherfucker. Trying to come on here roasting me, goddammit. Let me see. This is all fucked up. I cannot get my, this is weird. It's like my mouse will not turn off. It won't turn this shit off. I guess I just sit here then. Fuck it. I'll be around the next stream. You have a good night. Take care, Mr. Urban World. I'm getting the fuck out of here. If I could turn this off, I might stay on this bitch all night till tomorrow. Appreciate you, Matt Treese, for the prayers, brother. You see, I got Lady Navoa froze on my screen. I cannot turn this shit off, and I don't know what I need to do. We're going to figure this out. This is insane. Yeah. What is going on? I can't turn this shit off. Boy, do y'all see? I am so glad y'all are here to witness these growing pains of me trying to do these streams and all this shit I'm trying to do. I'm so glad y'all here to witness this. So if any of you guys want to start your own shit, you know what you have to go through. I mean, it is totally froze on this. It's froze on this side. That is insane to me. Damn. Okay, let's reload. All right, I'm back now. Let me get. Can I get her off? All right. Now I'm back cooking again. This shit was weird. Yeah, the AI took over, man. Shout out to Eric B, man. Yo, I found a way. Y'all can send me, if y'all want to send me some shit, y'all can send it to me in the private chat. If you want to know where to send me any of your merch or whatever you want to send into the show, you can send it into the private chat and we can make that shit happen. The show coming together, Ron. The show is coming together. That's my best friend, Ron G, right there. But no, this shit, I'm getting this motherfucker right, man. We gonna get better and better. As I grow this, you're going to see it come along. But listen, guys, I'm going to wrap this up. We've been on here, 51 minutes? Now that I'm in a better space with this now, I'm out of the dining room. Now we could have more conversations where I just jump on. I'm just going to talk and just stream, man. I'm just going to do this shit. So I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to try to get an intro. We're going to try to get an intro for the show. So the intro will kick off and you know. But I'm going to come at y'all, man, Monday through Friday. I love it. I really love to talk. I'm a talking motherfucker, as you can see. And I really appreciate you guys pulling up on me, man, for real. But I don't know why what was so puzzling about today's show is why this shit froze up like this. What the fuck, man? That was puzzling. But guys, listen, it's been love. I appreciate everybody on YouTube, everybody on Facebook. We building this shit one brick at a time. So I'm going to see you guys tomorrow, and we're going to get it better and better. We're going to keep working the kinks out. We're going to get it better, baby. So thank you guys for the love. Good night. God bless.